Okay, our next presentation this morning is on phosphorus distribution with depth across three land managements under dairy waste effluent application. And I'll let you go.
Good morning. It's nice to be here. My name is Amber Harding. I'm at Tarleton State University in Stephenville, Texas. And today we're talking about phosphorus distribution in soil profiles as a function of land management. Phosphorus impacts water quality, especially when it is exported from these waste application fields. It's a different kind of nutrient management. These concentrated animal feeding operations in large dairies can have some big problems. It is regulated often by the government. So in order to protect the environment, protect farmers, it's important to minimize losses of phosphorus from these types of fields. The way vertical phosphorus is distributed is not well studied. Usually these studies measure phosphorus as they leave the field, like a black box, either in drainage water or eroded materials. So looking at the distribution of the phosphorus in the profile is like finally getting to look inside that black box. And we looked at some possible mechanisms for phosphorus movement in the soil profile, especially tillage. We thought tillage would homogenize the phosphorus to the tillage depth. And I was pretty skeptical when I first started reading some of these phosphorus indices that are used in many states. They assume that the phosphorus from effluent is immediately incorporated into the soil, but that didn't really make a lot of sense to me because phosphorus is supposed to be immobile in soil, so why would we think it would go down by itself? So I really wanted to check out how that was actually happening. And some other mechanisms, obviously plants will be redistributing it as they incorporate the phosphorus into their bodies. And downward movement of phosphorus with water, either adsorbed to colloids or in a dissolved state. My study site is in Erath County, Texas, in the town of Stephenville. It's mapped from an Alka Association map unit, the largest of which is Windthorst series soils, which is a fine mixed active thermic eutic paleostelf. And these series are often used in this area for either for waste application or for crop production. And in this case, you can tell that it's managed in three sections. On the right, that's not part of my study. That's in Bermuda grass, and it's leased. And on the left, we have it split up into two quarter pivots, which I'll call the till and the no-till. The north side here is the no-till, and it's got a cover crop of perennial peanut on it, Arachis glabrata. And then to the south here, we have the conventionally tilled field, and it's been rotated over the years, but a couple years ago, it's been seeded with Serratia lespediza, or Lespediza cuneata, which is a forage legume. And both sides yield about 5 megagrams per hectare per year. This is the extent of the effluent application in this field. So it's kind of cool because I got to dig four soil pits, one in each inside and outside the effluent in each of the tillage treatments. I should add that the tillage was discontinued about 8 years ago. So we characterized each excavation. We looked at genetic horizons, which informed our incremental sampling within the horizons. We did this in an unusual way. Our depth increments ranged from 1.25 centimeters in the thinner AP horizons closer to the surface, to 15 centimeters or so in the thicker subsurface horizons. We didn't sample across horizon boundaries. We were looking to see if there were intra-horizon P gradients and micro-distributions inside the genetic horizons that traditional sampling might miss. So that's why we did that this way. For laboratory analysis, I extracted them for plant-available phosphorus using the Malic-3 extraction method. The reason we use this extraction method is because it's the same one that's used by regulators in the state of Texas. We quantified the results using inductively coupled plasma emission spectroscopy, and we did some other lab characterizations and some other procedures to help shed light on possible factors affecting the movement of phosphorus, so pH, total carbon, total nitrogen, loss on ignition, bulk density, particle size analysis, and most recently started in on the total kelvol phosphorus. So that'll be a fun thing to report to you in the future. For my results, I'm always going to have depth in centimeters on my y-axis and zero on the top. So you can look down, you can see how things are moving with depth. And I'm always going to have on the x-axis my phosphorus, but the scale of the x-axis will change depending on what I'm showing you. And the red line will always be the conventional till field, the black line will always be the no-till. So I wanted to show you this one first, because this is the phosphorus baseline of sorts. So these are the two non-tilled fields, or excuse me, the two non-effluent fields. So there's no effluent addition to either of these. And we already see a difference between the no-till and the conventional till. So there was a difference existing here before the effluent began to be added. And that's the point of me showing you this, because what we're really going to look for is differences in the distribution of phosphorus in these two profiles. And to show you what the same two profiles with the same two sets of data look like when corrected for bulk density, you can see that they are still similar with respect to each other. As you can see, the scale of the x-axis is different and the units are different. This is P in kilograms per hectare, rather than milligrams per kilogram, which is what I'll be talking about for the rest of this. Before we start to get into the effluent sites, I did want to talk a little bit about additions and losses with the effluent. The effluent is applied according to soil test P, so it's not going to be a surprise to you that the additions and the losses come out to be about even. But it's going to be about 49 kilograms per hectare over the last 2 years. And the crops are, like I said, they remove about 5 megagrams per hectare per year on both sides, which translates to an estimation of about 50 kilograms per hectare over the last 2 years, phosphorus removal by these plants. Although I did read a study recently about the perennial peanuts that they can, in phosphorus-enriched soils, they can remove up to 40 kilograms per hectare per year. But I decided to stick with this number because this is the one that was in most of the literature. The big point of showing you this is that it is the same in both the tilled and non-tilled fields. They both got the same amount of effluent application, and they have approximately the same phosphorus leaving. So here's the two effluent sites, tilled and non-tilled. This is the big comparison. Unsurprisingly, there's more phosphorus in the surface horizons. But the real story here is the shapes of these two distributions. So in the tilled field, we have a uniform rate of decrease with depth until we hit 15 centimeters, which is the tillage depth, where it changes to a very slow rate of decrease with depth. Bingo! Ding, 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 ding. And in the no-till, we have a different distribution. We have more phosphorus in the surface, and we have a much steeper rate of decrease with depth until we hit about 10 centimeters, where it becomes more similar to the tilled field. So from 10 centimeters down, the two lines are pretty similar, but there's a much steeper rate of decrease with depth in the non-tilled field. So why do we think this might be? Well, it turns out we were actually looking for a textural discontinuity that might be retarding the downward movement of phosphorus, but we didn't find that because the upper boundary of the argillic horizon is at 30 centimeters, and we didn't see a difference there. But we did find a difference in bulk density at this 10 to 12 centimeter mark. So there's a genetic horizon boundary here. The difference in bulk density above and below this is much greater in the no-till field than in the conventional till field. In the conventionally tilled field, the bulk density was much higher and the difference was pretty much negligible. So I think we found our smoking gun here. And it also, this boundary also coincided with a difference in the root and pore morphology in this field. So The root abundance and distribution above this line was much greater. There were many more common and many roots. The roots were distributed throughout the soil rather than arranging themselves around the soil beds, whereas below this boundary, they were arranging themselves around the soil beds, and there were less of them, and they were less large. So, and the same thing with the pores. So these roots might be, I mean, it's complicated, right? Because the roots are taking the phosphorus in for the plant and transporting it up in some cases, but the pores they leave behind can become preferential flow pathways for anything that's migrating downward with the water. So our goal was to learn about the influence management has on the phosphorus distribution. We expected tillage to homogenize the phosphorus, and we did see the uniform distribution to the tillage depth. And in contrast, the no-till had more phosphorus in the surface and a steeper decline. So it's not incorporating like it is in the tilled field. So we found that. We expected to find a textural discontinuity that might be hanging the phosphorus up, but we did not find that. We did, however, find the bulk density discontinuity, which explains the distribution that we did find. And we did find a change in the pores and the roots at the same depth where that bulk density increase was. So thank you very much, and I'll take questions.
Okay, does anybody have any questions for Amber?
So the depth profile that you showed, you said those were the mean of four soil pits?
No, each one was its own soil pit. Within each site?
Yeah, and what kind of error bar would you expect to see if you had done it?
If I had dug
more pits,
if I had dug like multiple pits in the same,
right,
in each one, it's hard to tell. I mean, we used one map unit in order to sort of avoid that expense, and we were pretty lucky to get what we did, but I don't think I can't even guess. I mean, we're going to assume that these are representative, which is, I mean, that would be what a pedologist would be. Oh, the entire field was tilled before, and there are AP horizons in every part of this field, but the conventional till field is continuing to be tilled, whereas the non-tilled was discontinued 8 years ago.
Okay, so it's been no-till for 8 years.
It's been no-till for 8 years, yes.
And then, what are differences in organic matter? How do they parallel that?
I almost put my organic matter results into this talk, but I didn't think I had time. There is obviously much more organic matter where it is, where the effluent is being applied. But they are similar in the tilled and the no-tilled, and that's something that I had in a separate talk. That was something that wasn't going to report here. But I have, I mean, we can talk about it if you'd like to at the break, because I have that result with me. Right, because pea can often be associated with organic matter.
Yeah.
Yes.
What sort of tillage implement was used on the tilled portion of the site?
A chisel. And it's been moldboarded. There's been deep ripping, and there's been all kinds of different management in this field. Yes.
If you do the mass balance, the no-till condition, you have a lot of field surface compared to the till condition, you have field, and then it goes down. Where would the rest of the field go, though? If you did, I don't know, you didn't measure all the way down, but somehow you have to, in my mind, you need to account for what happened to the come down somewhere, and that uptake was higher in that condition compared to the mid-tech situation.
We did measure to 100 centimeters. I didn't report that because the P was negligible below 50 centimeters, and it wasn't. I wanted to show the graph scale that would make the differences a little bit more easy to see. But we did measure down, and the phosphorus is definitely not migrating any further down than 30 to 50 centimeters.
So how are you going to account for the difference in big difference in P concentrations? Where did the rest of the P go?
We've talked about several possibilities. It could be that it's eroding, that it's going away. It could be leaching. This field, often there are a lot of studies out there about P losses from tile drains, and this field is not drained. So, I mean, there's several possibilities for that. It's kind of why I wanted to show the non-effluent fields, because the tilled and the non-tilled already had a difference before the effluent application began.
Okay, let's give her a round of applause.